A surprise C-suite shakeup at Disney. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Bob Iger is back. The former boss of the entertainment juggernaut is back leading the company less than a year after he stepped down. In the surprise and very late announcement on Sunday night, Disney said Mr. Iger is ideally suited to lead during a time of industry transformation. He immediately replaces Bob Chapek, who's been at the helm since 2020. The BBC's Katie Silver explains why the sudden change of leadership.
Disney's lost about 40% of its market value this year. Its shares have tumbled. It's been piling money into Disney Plus, and it's not yet turning a profit. So they need a bit of a life jacket. And I guess Bob Iger's been so synonymous with the growth of Disney. He helmed it for 15 years. During that time, we saw it launch Disney Plus. We saw it buy Pixar, built the Marvel Cinematic Universe, even opened its theme park in Shanghai. So he's been hugely beneficial for Disney's market value. Its market value increased about five times in the 15 years that he led it. So he's been seen as something to hopefully resurrect it. According to the company, they said that he's quote unquote uniquely situated to take it through what it's called is an increasingly complex period of industry transformation.
A big reason for that is because we've seen this huge shift to streaming and online services, and now it's a very crowded space. So any idea what he may do next or what's next for the company under his fresh leadership?
He said he's going to helm it for 2 years to help them find a successor. He said that, for example, he's extremely optimistic for the future of the company and he's thrilled to be asked by the board to return. We don't really know what to expect, though. At the moment, for instance, Disney, in this saturated streaming market, Disney actually has a decent amount of the market share. It has about 235 million subscribers, if you include its other platforms, which is ESPN Plus and Hulu, which is actually more than Netflix. But despite this, it's not being able to generate a profit. So we're going to have to wait and see, really, to see how he plans to change things.
The BBC's Katie Silver for us. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thanks, Victoria.
Well, following that announcement, Disney shares are surging in U.S. pre-market trade. They're up about 7.8% at this hour. Checking some other numbers now, stock benchmarks across Europe are down in the 0.2% to 0.9% range. The Shanghai Composite Index, meanwhile, ended down 0.4%. That's after China reported its first COVID-related deaths for 6 months in Beijing. That has prompted shops and restaurants across the city to close as authorities there adhere to the strict zero COVID strategy. Those COVID worries are also hitting the Hang Seng, which fell nearly 2% in Hong Kong today. That's after its leader, John Lee, tested positive for the illness. The BBC's Martin Yip has more from Hong Kong.
Mr. Lee was eager to make the point that Hong Kong has returned to the international stage after COVID travel disruption and the 2019 anti-government protests. He was photographed next to his boss, President Xi, without a mask, and also met the Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong of Singapore on the sidelines of the APEC summit. The government insists that Mr. Lee tested negative for COVID every day in Bangkok, but that changed when he returned home. The deaths in Beijing are the first to be officially acknowledged since May, though no lockdown is in place.
That's the BBC's Martin Yip reporting from Hong Kong there. To Germany now, a country that continues to struggle with an energy crisis sparked by the war in Ukraine. The Bavarian town of Abensburg has ambitions to be self-sufficient in electricity by 2030, and it's where we find the BBC's Bethany Bell, who explains that solar power is key to that ambition.
The main town square here in Abensburg is deeply traditional, with cobbled streets and a Glockenspiel on the town hall. There's even a whiff of beer in the air from one of its breweries. But once you leave the town centre, there are photovoltaic panels almost everywhere you look, on the kindergarten, on buildings, and scattered throughout the fields.
Die beste Energieförderung kommt.
A video for the town's own electricity provider, Naturstrom Abensberg, which is run by the municipal utilities in cooperation with a larger energy company. Uwe Brandl, the mayor, told me it brings together local solar and other renewable energy producers and currently supplies 1,700 customers at considerably cheaper prices than normal.
Mein Ziel wäre, dass die Stadt Abensberg bis 2030...
My goal is that by 2030, Abensberg will produce 300% of the electricity it needs, with photovoltaic systems, biomass, wind and water power. Alternative energy production has really gained momentum after gas became very expensive as a result of the conflict in Ukraine. And because of that, many customers are thinking about energy independence.
It's a cold but sunny day, and according to the Energy Monitor on the Abensberg webpage, the town is currently producing over 90% of the power it needs to function. But there's a problem. Most of that energy comes from the sun. When it's dark or cloudy, the town has to buy in extra supplies, and a lot of investment is needed to prepare houses for solar power. Magdalena Gold-Siegelmeier is a town councillor from the Green Party.
I think it's always difficult. Our house is more than 30 years, and it's a matter of money. I think everybody has to make first steps at home.
Magdalena's husband, Richard, the town's environment councillor, shows me how his electric car is charging from the new photovoltaic panels they've recently installed on their roof.
Germany, Europe, the whole world, we must go this way. We must save our planet, special for the kids.
He says it's about the future.
That's the BBC's Bethany Bell reporting from Abensberg and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.